Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. People have been asking me, how can you say Merry Christmas with all that has happened? Well, let me tell you, Christmas is the only chance I have to be merry. And it's the only hope that I have. And because of that, I will say it one more time, Merry Christmas. Because what Jill Briscoe said last week is true. It is still true. Amen? Amen? It is all still true. It is true. It is true. It is true. And no matter how dark your season is right now, no matter how dark our season is right now, you can't stop the Christmas message. The Christmas message is our hope. It is our only hope. But let me tell you this, darkness will try. Darkness will try to stop the light. The other day I was preparing for this message over at the Daily Grind in Menasha. Sorry, Seth. But I saw a newspaper there, and I went and I picked up the newspaper, and I didn't see the coffee and the keys sitting next to it. It was somebody else's newspaper. But when I picked it up and I read, and he actually came and gave it to me later, darkness is trying to stop the light, and said this: there is one place where Christmas cheer will be in short supply this year. And I thought it was going to be another article about what happened. Another article of maybe our church. But it wasn't. It was about North Korea. And it said this: not content with banning Christmas in 2016, the country's supreme Grinch, Kim Jong-un, I think that's him there. He went further, prohibiting any gathering involving singing this year. He's trying to stop Christmas. It says he banned the few Christians that were there from celebrating Christmas and told them to celebrate his grandma's birthday, Kim Jong-suk. Was born on Christmas Eve in 1919. I think her last name is really fitting. Let me ask you, do you think they can stop Christmas? No. Why? Because I don't care what your reality on earth says. I don't care what the headline says. This overshadows it. This is the word of God. So let's look. Let's look at scripture right now. John 1:5 says this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Yes. Never means never. Say never. Yes. It can never put it out. Oh, they'll continue to try. They tried in China, didn't they? Right? Communists tried in China. You know what? I just looked up yesterday, just yesterday. Did you know in China, if China continues, there's an explosion of light happening in China right now. The church is growing, and in 15 years, there will be the most populated nation of Christians in the world. In China. In China. Can you believe that? By 2030, there'll have more church attenders in China than America. You can't stop the light. You can't stop the light. And you can't stop it here either. I hold here in my hand Bill's message for Christmas 2017. Can I show you the title that he wrote back in October when he wrote it? Christmas 2000. Light shines in the darkness. Light shines in the darkness. I'm like, wow, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How? So I want to say it one more time. You know what? Because of Christmas, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's because of that we have hope. And so this message today is coming from Bill's message. We put it together to say, you know what? I didn't share this last night, but he had asked me before when he was taking the sabbatical to share this, to share this Christmas. And then the staff said, well, we got the whole theme done already, so I think you should just use his message. And I called him and he said, no way, I wrote that. I'm using that next year. God knew what we needed to hear. And so right from his words, does anyone know the first words that are recorded that God ever spoke when he first spoke in the creation story? That was Bill's question to open the sermon. And here it is, Genesis 1:3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. And then he started by saying this. He said, can you see that there was no light? Then God just spoke and light immediately appeared. And in his words, he said, amazing. I can see him going, amazing. You know, let me get down, Lord. Amazing. That's what he said. That's right here. But we have to back up this morning. And we have to back up to the verse before it. So let's go back to the verse before it. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. But God was moving over the surface of the water. Genesis 1:2. I can't believe how alive the Word of God is, because it just described my last year, and for sure my last 2 weeks. An ache that doesn't go away. Formless. I can't focus. Empty. At best, some days I'm just numb. Darkness. A heaviness. And a pain and a sorrow and a confusion. I just feel lost. The deep. An anger and a rage that I never knew existed in me. And when it's all done, that ache comes back. But then we got to get the end of that verse. And the Spirit of God was moving, and I'd say in somehow in his sovereignty, over the surfaces of the water. Devastated, but Jesus. And Jill Briscoe said it so amazingly last week. When you're feeling overwhelmed, see if anybody remembers. Remember that you are overshadowed. Let's say it together. Remember, when you're overwhelmed, we are overshadowed. And into that darkness is where God spoke the light. He spoke the light, and the light came. Amazing. This book of truth, this truth is big enough, but this truth became a person, the person of Jesus. Jesus is the light, that same light that was spoke in their darkness. Our God is big enough, but I'm still afraid of the dark. Because of how big I am, I don't like to admit that. I don't like to stay home alone. I don't even like Home Alone 2. When I stay home alone, I have to sleep with the lights on, TV, radio, dishwasher, vacuum cleaner. There's no noises in my house until my head hits the pillow. Then people in the walls, they wake up. If you're afraid of the dark like me, where do you always check before you go to bed? Ooh, I heard them both. But let's start with number one answer every time. The bed, right? You check under the bed, you always, doot, 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 doot. What happens someday if somebody's there? You're going to freak out and die. Ah! The second place you look is where? closet. Now, closets are different for different people. Some people have to have the door open, because if it's closed, you think somebody's there with a knife. Now, me, I have to have the door closed, because if it's open, I think somebody's there. I remember when I was little. I was little once. I forgot to shut the door, and I started screaming, "Mom, Mom!" And my mom came in, "What's the matter, Bob?" I'm like, "Somebody's in my closet." My mom was so brave. She looked. No, she really did. She came back and she said, "Bob, it's just your clothes." I'm like, "Oh." You ain't never thought of back then, if there really was somebody in my closet, did I really think they would stay there the whole time I was yelling? "Ma, Ma, what? Somebody's in my closet." "Where?" "Right there." "Hi." They weren't going to stay there the whole time. But I really am afraid of the dark. So please don't hear Merry Christmas wrong. We're not saying that the darkness isn't scary or painful, or you feel sad or isolated. But I would say that those feelings are normal and it's okay. At least that's what my counselor told me last week. And remember, comfort without truth is denial and deception. We don't have all the answers here this morning, and we don't pretend to. But we do say unapologetically, we know the answer, and he is light, and he is Jesus. And we will continue to say that and proclaim that with all power and authority, resting on the word of God. But there's so much we don't know. Scientists, not that I've been hanging around them, but scientists say that 80% of our universe is made of something of this thing they call dark matter. The dark matter hasn't even been proven yet, but they say that there's so much that probably 80% of it is dark matter that exists. Or what is a black hole? But it feels like where I've been the last couple weeks. But it's not just me. In the last week, I've talked to people that have formless chaos, pain. From a mom who said that their son wasn't coming home for Christmas, and she just couldn't stop crying. To the daughter who hasn't spoken to her family in 3 years. To my friend whose grandbaby was born at 1.9 pounds and is up in the NICU and just tearing their Christmas apart, wondering if she's going to make it. Or my friends who her wrapping paper was a pink slip and lost her job just before Christmas. Or one of my best friends whose mom just found out she has cancer. And I still ask why. And why at the Christmas season? But let me say it again. What would I do without Christmas? What would I do without that hope? Matthew 11:17 says this. Jesus, when he got upset, he only got upset for two reasons. He said, "We played a flute for you, and you did not dance. And we sang a dirge for you," that's a funeral song, "and you did not mourn, you did not weep." Jesus only got mad at us when we weren't real, when we weren't authentic. Let me tell you, it's okay to cry and mourn during Christmas. I give you permission to do that. It's okay. But you better dance too. We better dance because 1 John 1:5. I've never used so many scriptures, but these are all the ones Bill picked out. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, no dark matter, no dark hole, all answers in heaven. He is all in all." So I pray that you understand and believe that the darkness can never be put out. So this Christmas, as heavy as my heart is, I got the video to my grandkids' Christmas program at their school, because we were dropping our son off to go as a missionary to Germany to work with Muslims for 2 years, and so we couldn't see, but I got to watch him and celebrate, and I got to go and watch Annabelle. There were 70, 80 kindergartens on stage, but I only saw one. I just watched Annabelle sing it as a little snowflake, and how many of you with a round of applause enjoyed all those kids up here last week? We gotta enjoy. And then I went to my special needs sister Lois's concert, and 70 special needs people up there singing. And I just enjoyed it so much. And then they were singing Tidings of Comfort and Joy. And I remember this was the last message Bill wrote, but the last message that he preached, he said, does anybody in here need comfort? I do. Well, that's in the message of Christmas. And let me share a quote that I just read. Joy is not the elimination of pain. Joy is not the elimination of pain. It's the addition of hope. It's the addition of hope. So please hear me. You better sing joy to the world. And you better, please, our church is naturally getting over. We're 36 years old. Don't get rigid. Don't get old, folk. I'm talking to you guys. Guys, make sure those legs can still dance. We can't jump. We better dance. So when Jingle Bell Rock comes on, I better see you move. And when you put those grandkids to bed, or you put your kids to bed, and you think that they're sleeping, they're not. I hope that when they're looking through that little crack in the door to see if anybody's gonna come and eat those cookies that they left out, they better see Mama kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe. And guys, let me speak right to you. When all those lights are out, except for the ones on the tree and that star on the above, on the top of it, you better grab your wife and hold her and tell her how thankful you are for her. And then you better give a prayer of gratitude to God for all he's blessed you with. And then dance like no one's watching. And then sing like no one's listening. I don't even care if they are. And then love like you've never been hurt. Because that's what God's calling us to. And even if you're all alone this Christmas, you feel all alone, the loss is so heavy, I still pray you'd let the arms of the good, good Father hold you and say, you're loved. And that you could say, that's who I am. That's who I am. It's real. It's big enough. But if your loss is so great that you just feel lost, you just feel like a little sheep in the wilderness and nothing but darkness and your fears and doubts, questions and pain and struggles are getting the best of you and it just feels like chaos, I don't have any words. So let's just watch a little clip. That's from the movie The Star. My sister Lois went and saw it. If you haven't seen it, it's a great movie for kids. Just for adults, I just use that for an excuse. But there is hope. But if you see, in the beginning, there was chaos. And God's first word that he spoke was, let there be light. At the end of the Old Testament, there was a 400 period, what the church fathers called the silent years. Confusion, darkness, waiting for the Messiah. And that very word that was spoken in Genesis became the Christ child. And that's why it came in light. That wasn't just somebody's made up theme. That's the word of God. But we have to end with one more darkness. The darkness in me and the darkness in you. The darkness in us. Even for the children, the kids that are here today. It starts young. Mine, when I first started seeing it, when I was in fourth grade. I went to St. John's Catholic grade school and we had these people called nuns. And they taught us about the darkness in us. And they tried to drive it out. But people alone can't drive it out. And then I tried to tell my dad that I didn't break the neighbor's window. The ball did. But he didn't believe me. And I've always liked to talk, and sometimes I can use this to bless people. I can use it to hurt people. And sometimes you should never try to hurt anybody with your words, much less your own mom. But I was very fourth grade. I remember just trying to find my independence and disrespecting my mom with these words. And my dad came to me Christmas Eve and said, "Bob, you're not going to get any gifts for Christmas." I said, "What?" He says, "You've been given into the darkness. You've been in trouble at school. You've been in trouble with the neighbors and your mom. You've disrespected her. You need to see that every choice has a consequence. You reap what you sow. You're not going to get anything." "Come on, Dad, there's got to be something." He says, "You don't deserve anything, Bob, and you need to learn your lesson. You can't give into this darkness." And I went to bed that night thinking, my dad's an honest man. I might not get anything. He's right, though. I don't deserve anything. He doesn't even know half the things I've done. But being a kid, I still woke up the first one in the morning. You know, your own kids, you can't get up for school. Christmas morning, they're like, "Is it time yet?" I'm like, "It is 4:30 in the morning. Go back to bed." But I was the first one up. And I walked into the living room, and I looked by the tree just hoping for one small gift. But there wasn't. It was a big gift. It was a brand new bike. And it was for me. You know, I could tell? It had my name on it. Bob. I read it backwards just to be sure. Bob. And it wasn't any ordinary bike. People my age, you'll know what I'm talking about. It was a custom deluxe bike of its day. It had a banana seat and a sissy bar and handlebars that came out with floofies. And it was gold. And I went to my dad almost with arrogance and said, "Dad, I thought I didn't deserve anything." And he says, "You didn't, and you don't, but I still love you." And it's the first time that I tasted grace. See, like in that video, the first one, we were never made to create the light. Unless you receive it as a gift, we can't make it on our own. There's only one way to eternal life. There's only one way to salvation. There's only one way to fight the darkness, and that's Jesus. Back to the Word of God, because that's where Bill brought us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "There was a light which was coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and that the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him." And then Bill wrote, "The light will come, but we still have a choice. What will you do with it?" And then the next verse he put down was John chapter 1, verse 12. "But to as many as receive him, gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Every person has an option to receive him or reject him. He is the light. He is willing to come in and drive out the darkness in us and forgive our sins and give us eternal life. We have the option to receive him. To those who do become children of God, who receive Jesus, are born not of flesh, natural birth, but the will of man. But we are actually born of God. When we are born of the Holy Spirit, we are born into the family of God. And God becomes our personalized and loving Father. We begin a new life in Christ. And that is why Jesus came to be born and to die for our sins, to drive out the darkness. These are my brother's words, to forgive us and make way for us to be born into his family. And the last thing he wrote is this: would you like to receive Jesus today? Simply say yes. Light of the world, come into my life. Drive out my darkness. Forgive my sins. Give me eternal life. So I pray that this would be one of the hardest and yet one of the most beautiful Christmases of your life. And so I'd like you to pray with me. I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes in just a moment between you and God. Not just to hear about God. God is here. His Holy Spirit is here. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. Holy Spirit, come. Only you can bring a heart. But if you're here and you don't have 100% assurance that the day you die, you'll be spending eternity with the light of the world. And I ask right now, confess you can't do it on your own. We can't overcome this darkness. We can't deal with this grief. We can't put our lives in order on our own. The chaos is too much. But as the light came in Genesis, and then in the manger, it wants to come in us tonight. So if that's you, I pray right now, just slip up your hand and say, I want that light in me. I want Jesus in me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You're saying, Holy Spirit, yes, all over. Yeah, don't, yes, just raise it. Young, old, he's not too young, never too old. Yes, just raise it up. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Awesome, awesome. And if you're here and you have been feeling like me, that darkness is winning, and you want to say, I believe in the light and I'm all in, I'm coming back this Christmas, I'm going to stay involved. If that's you, would you raise your hand right now? Amen. Just say the simple prayer. Light of the world, come on in. I turn from the darkness, that's sin. I can't do it on my own, so I need grace. You were born, you lived and died and rose, and you're coming again, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, everybody said, if you did that today, we have a gift for you. Either one of you, for the first time, raise your hand, or if you're saying, hey, I'm all in, we have a candle for you to mark the day this Christmas that said, Jesus, come and live in me. So we have stations up here during this next song. This is a song that Bill picked out. Just come and grab a candle, and I'd like to give you a copy of Grace, because this was just reprinted, and we have Bible study, and we got to get into the Word, and this book will help you get into the Word to understand that we can't make the light on our own, and just to trust Christ. So during this next song, if you raise your hand, just come up here, and there's two booths back by those trees back there in the back. Just during this time of this next song, just come where you are. It's okay. Come grab a candle, young, old. Come grab a book, and continue to worship with us. Merry Christmas.